This is the Sunday Catholic Word, a production of Catholic Answers, the only podcast to look at the Sunday Mass readings from an apologetics perspective.
Hey, 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 everyone. Welcome back to the Sunday Catholic Word, a podcast where we reflect on the upcoming Sunday Mass readings and pick out the details that are relevant for explaining and defending our Catholic faith. I'm Carlo Broussard, staff apologist and speaker for Catholic Answers, and the host for this podcast. In this episode, we're going to focus on several details found in the readings for this upcoming sixth Sunday of Ordinary Time, Year B. Unlike what we've seen in all the previous episodes of the Sunday Catholic Word, these details aren't as directly related to apologetical discussions as the details in previous readings. But given that they're related in some ways, they're worth mentioning. The relevant topics that we'll be discussing are the sacrament of confession, the New Testament ministerial priesthood, respect for the Church's disciplinary precepts, a healthy approach to disciplinary laws of the Church and their relationship to love, and the gospel portrait of Jesus as an exorcist. So let's start with the first reading, taken from Leviticus chapter 13, verses 1 through 2 and 44 through 46. As will become evident, this serves as the background for what we read in the gospel. So here we go, Leviticus 13, 1 through 2, 44 through 46. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "If someone has on his skin a scab or a pustule or blotch, which appears to be the sore of leprosy, he shall be brought to Aaron the priest, or to one of the priests among his descendants. If the man is leprous and unclean, the priest shall declare him unclean by reason of the sore on his head. The one who bears the sore of leprosy shall keep his garments rent and his head bare, and shall muffle his beard. He shall cry out, 'Unclean, unclean!' As long as the sore is on him, he shall declare himself unclean, since he is in fact unclean. He shall dwell apart, making his abode outside the camp." Now, in the gospel, which is taken from Mark 1, 40 through 45, we read about Jesus healing a leper and commanding him to, quote, "show himself to the priest and offer his cleansing what Moses prescribed." The first reading for this upcoming Sunday serves as part of the background for this injunction that Jesus gives to the leper in the gospel. The first reading records the precept for a leper to show himself to the priest when he contracts leprosy, and to be declared unclean. Jesus, on the other hand, is referring to part of the precept for a healed leper to show himself to the priest to be declared clean, which is recorded in both Leviticus chapters 13 and 14. It's this idea of the leper having to go to the priest to be declared physically and ritually unclean and clean that I want to focus on here. It has at least some relevance to the sacrament of confession and thus is worth considering. Now, let's be clear. In no way am I asserting this is a proof text for the sacrament of confession or anything like that. What I am saying, however, is that it illustrates how God willed to associate cleanness with his priests. In this case, it's physical and ritual cleanness. But earlier, in Leviticus, we discover that God willed to associate even spiritual cleanness with his priests as well. Consider, for example, Leviticus 5, 5 through 6, where Moses says, "When a man is guilty in any of these, he shall confess the sin he has committed, and he shall bring his guilt offering to the Lord for the sin which he has committed, a female from the flock, a lamb or a goat, for a sin offering, and the priest shall make atonement for him for his sin." So here in Leviticus 5, 5 through 6, we have an instruction for the sinner to confess his sins and bring a sacrifice to whom? To the priest, to be offered for his sins. Notice how God saw it fitting that his priests be involved in the process of forgiving his people of their sins. Now think about that. If God saw it fitting to involve his ordained priests when forgiving his people of their sins in the old covenant, well, then it's at least reasonable to think that God might have ordained priests in the new covenant and involve them when he forgives his people of their sins. And I think this principle is important for many of our Protestant brothers and sisters who have a problem with the sacrament of confession. The point here is, listen, the principle of the sacrament of confession that God would involve his ordained priest within the process of forgiving us of our sins is not entirely foreign to the Bible. The principle, at least, is found in the Old Testament. Now, this plausibility, right, at least the plausibility of God having ordained priests in the New Covenant, involving them to forgive his people of their sins, that plausibility is revealed to be fact in John chapter 20, verse 23, when Jesus tells his apostles, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Jesus involves the apostles in the ministry of forgiving sins. And when read against the backdrop of Leviticus 5, 5-6, Jesus' instruction for the apostles to forgive sins is a strong indication that Jesus made the apostles his New Testament ministerial priests. I mean, if you got forgiveness of sins associated with priestly ministry in the Old Covenant, and Jesus here associates the forgiveness of sins with the ministry of the apostles, well then, therefore, we can conclude that the apostles are priests. Now, these precepts involving lepers have further implications for the sacrament of reconciliation. Just as a leper could be restored to normal life within the community of the Israelites through the ministry of an ordained priest, especially to the life of worship, so to a grave sinner, through the ministry of an ordained priest in the sacrament of reconciliation, is restored back to the life of the church and to liturgical worship, particularly the worship of receiving Jesus in Holy Communion. The leprosy, therefore, is a symbol of grave sin, and the leper's restoration to the life of Israel is a symbol of a sinner's restoration to the life of the church, the new Israel. So we can see some parallels there. So this idea of the leper presenting himself to an ordained priest to be declared unclean and also clean and be restored back to liturgical life within the people of Israel is a prefigurement, is a sign, is a symbol, a type of the sacrament of reconciliation. Now, Jesus' instruction for the leper to show himself to the priest gives rise to another topic for discussion, and that is respect for disciplinary precepts. Jesus shows his respect for the Mosaic Law, which at the time was still binding for Jews since Jesus hadn't fully revealed his abrogation of such precepts. And this gives us an opportunity to pause and reflect on the importance of obeying Holy Mother Church's disciplinary precepts. And we can give a litany of examples, the few that come to mind right off the top of my head, you know, not eating meat on Fridays during Lent, attending Mass on holy days of obligation, following liturgical rubrics, and such things as this. I'm reminded of the early Gentile Christians having to follow the Council of Jerusalem's disciplinary precepts of abstaining from meats offered to idols and meats not fully drained of blood, as recorded in Acts 15. Those were disciplinary precepts that were imposed upon new Gentile converts, and they were expected to obey them and follow them. You know, following the church's disciplinary precepts is something that's expected of us as faithful sons and daughters of Holy Mother Church. So this gives us an opportunity to reflect upon that and sort of do an examination. Do I follow the disciplinary precepts of Holy Mother Church? Am I being obedient and faithful to the church? Now, in the healing of the leper, Jesus also gives us a healthy or balanced view of disciplinary laws. So it's one thing to affirm the good of following the disciplinary laws, but we can't think of it in a vacuum. There is a whole context that Jesus is revealing to us here that it helps us have a healthy approach and view of disciplinary laws. Notice Mark tells us Jesus touched the leper in verse 41 of Mark 1. According to the Mosaic Law, as recorded in Leviticus 13-14, the Israelites were forbidden to touch a leper. And there's a principle embedded here that many have pointed out that I think we would do well to heed. And that is this: disciplinary or ceremonial laws give way to the law of love when the two collide, right? Now, that's only for some disciplinary laws, right? There are some disciplinary laws that the violation of would constitute invalidity, right? So the invalidity of a marriage and not having canonical form, say. So there are some disciplinary laws that we have to simply always follow. But there is this kind of general principle. There are some ceremonial and disciplinary laws that could give way to the law of love when the two collide. And of course, we would need to discern that with proper spiritual direction, with the priests, and even with the law of the church and the church herself. And it would seem that this is a theme that Holy Mother Church is highlighting for us for this upcoming Sunday Mass readings, because the second reading for 1 Corinthians 10, 31 through chapter 11, verse 1, is about this very issue. Here's what Paul writes: "Whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do everything for the glory of God, and avoid giving offense, whether to Jews or Greeks or the Church of God, just as I try to please everyone in every way, not seeking my own benefit, but that of the many, that they may be saved, be imitators of me as I am of Christ." Here, Paul's focus is the freedom Christians have concerning laws about eating and drinking. So ceremonial law is at the forefront of his thought here. But even though a Christian has such freedom from such ceremonial laws of the Mosaic law, he's saying we still ought to have charity at the forefront of our minds when relating to others who aren't aware of such freedom. So at least for the first century Christian, if a first century Christian were to find himself in a situation where he's asked by his Jewish friend to not eat meats offered to idols, rather than saying, "Hey, I'm free from that precept," Paul seems to be suggesting that a Christian humbly concede the request, right? The intent would not be justification by the law, rather it would be not to give offense to the person and thereby keep the relationship going for the sake of being able to evangelize them. So I think as Catholics, we have a tendency to focus so much on the disciplines of the church that we lose sight of that which to which the disciplinary precepts are ordered, namely love. And so I think it's just something to keep in mind here, to meditate on, to reflect upon. Is there any place in my life as a Catholic where the discipline, my focus on the disciplinary laws is somehow excluding the law of love and how I'm treating others and even how I'm living my Catholic life? This is not to say that disciplines are not important. It's simply to say that we need to have a proper context in which the disciplinary laws are placed. And I think we're safe in saying that. All right, there's one last detail that I want to point out in the gospel reading. Many scholars point out that a plausible reading of the passage is to read it as an exorcism. And there are a couple of reasons to think this. First, Mark tells us in 1:41 that Jesus was moved with pity. Now, many have pointed out that this can also be translated as moved with indignation or anger. Then in verse 43, Jesus sternly charged the leper to not say anything. The Greek word translated sternly connotes indignation or anger. So we have these possible indignation or anger verses. So the question becomes, well, why would Jesus be so moved with indignation by the leper? And also, why would he be so harsh to the leper after healing him? Well, some scholars suggest that perhaps Jesus was addressing a demon rather than the leper, and thus driving a demon out of the leper who was causing the leprosy. That doesn't mean all physical ailments are caused by demons, but some have suggested this particular physical ailment or leprosy was caused by a demon. And one thing that fits with this interpretation is Mark's previous mentions of Jesus' exorcism ministry in the immediately preceding verses. In verses 21 through 28, you have a whole narrative of Jesus exorcising a demon. And then in verses 34 and 35, you have passing references to Jesus exorcising demons. So you have that going for this interpretation. Secondly, the Greek word translated dismissed, whenever Mark tells us Jesus dismissed him, it literally means to expel or drive out. To expel or drive out. And this is the word used in several places that speaks of Jesus driving out demons. So for example, Mark 1:34 and verse 39, Mark 3:15 and verse 22, Mark 6:13, 7:26 and chapter 9, verses 18 and 28. So if we interpret this passage as a narrative of Jesus driving out a demon, well, it would add one more piece of evidence to the historical reliability of the gospel portrait of Jesus as an exorcist, which was a topic we talked about at length in last week's episode of the Sunday Catholic Word. Well, my friends, that does it for this episode of the Sunday Catholic Word. Although the readings for this upcoming sixth Sunday of Ordinary Time Year B, they don't give us any explicit apologetical details, but they do provide us with some information that either indirectly relates to apologetical topics or gives us an opportunity to reflect on an apologetical topic. And such topics include the sacrament of confession, the New Testament ministerial priesthood, respect for the church's disciplinary precepts, a healthy approach to disciplinary laws of the church and their relationship to love, and the gospel portrait of Jesus as an exorcist. As always, I want to thank you, friends, for subscribing to the podcast. Couldn't do it without you. We appreciate all of your support at Catholic Answers, which allows for us to do these podcasts. And speaking of these podcasts, you might want to check out the other great podcasts in our Catholic Answers podcast network. Cy Kellett's Catholic Answers Focus, Trent Horn's The Council of Trent, Joe Heschmeyer's Shameless Popery, Jimmy Akin's A Daily Defense, all of which can be found at Catholic.com. Please be sure to tell your friends about this podcast, The Sunday Catholic Word, and invite them to subscribe at SundayCatholicWord.com. And one last thing, if you're interested in getting some cool mugs and stickers with my logo, Mr. Sunday Podcast, you can do so at shop.catholic.com. Friends, thank you so much for listening. I hope you have a blessed sixth Sunday of Ordinary Time. Peace.
Thank you for listening to the Sunday Catholic Word. Find more great shows by visiting CatholicAnswersPodcasts.com or just search for Catholic Answers wherever you listen to podcasts.